Welcome back, everyone. My name is Joel Hubbard, and I'm here with Jim Zartman, and we are launching into the Head Triad, starting off with Type 5. And you're going to get a lot of head action as you listen to this type, and I'm really thrilled to have these two panelists. One has been doing work in the Enneagram for years, and the other one is brand new to it. So it's really wonderful to hear the two of them talk about themselves and talk about their own growth.
You know, it's funny. I feel like fives are this incredible gift that often get taken for granted because they seem to be consistently misunderstood by a lot of the other types.
Yeah, I think so too. But I'd love to hear what are some things that you've noticed that other types kind of, you know, misunderstand about them?
I think fives, a lot of times people want the information that they have. They want their capacity to look through a lot of data and come up with conclusions. But I think a lot of people see them as cold, or they see them as unemotional, or they feel that they're hard to access on a relational level. I think because of that, a lot of people don't engage with them in the way that fives need, that would be a gift to the fives.
Mm. That's really well said. Fives are hardworking types who will dig, and dig some more. They will research things. They will work endlessly at getting all the information they need. They're worker bees. And what happens to worker bees? Well, worker bees, they're loved by people who need them around. But because, as you said, they don't express as much of that emotional language, it doesn't give off the sense that they actually would like to be invited sometimes to something. It doesn't mean that they want to go, because fives may not want to go to that event. But to be maybe asked some questions about how they are doing. But it's something that I find comes up quite a bit for folks who are in relationship with fives, is whenever I ask him or her, how are you doing? The response is sort of short and annoyed. Like, they're annoyed with that question. So, you know, I get a little anxious or nervous around this. So I just sort of back off, like, okay, you don't want to talk about you right now, or, you know, and so other types do struggle sometimes reading the five.
But if you want to be in a relationship with them and you ask them, on the other hand, like, what have you been reading? What have you been studying? What are you thinking about? You're going to see somebody like light up.
Yeah.
But they may go into more detail than you're ready for.
Yeah. So one of my clients asked me, how do I interact with my son? My son, I think, is a type five. I'm having a hard time because whenever I ask him how he's doing, he gets prickly, and it makes me uncomfortable, so I back off. And I just don't know. He seems prickly. He seems edgy. And so as we talked, I asked her, I said, well, you know, ask him about – type fives generally don't want to be asked deep emotional sort of questions. They want to be asked – they don't like shallow conversation either. They don't want to talk about the weather and all that. But if you ask them about what they're interested in, what have they been reading? What have they been thinking about? You might be surprised as to what comes out. So she was anxious about an upcoming gathering, family gathering, and then having to spend some time in the car with her son. And so she said, okay, I'm going to try that and see how it goes. And I said, and even let's say he doesn't even come up with anything. Why don't you come up with something and say, hey, I've been thinking about this. Remember, this is head triad. So go with thought and go with puzzles and questions that are in that head space as opposed to heart or body. So she got it. I gave her some tips on that. So she tried it. A couple weeks later, we meet, and she said, oh my goodness, that worked like magic. As I asked him about what he was interested in and what books he was reading and why that was interesting to him, and, you know, he went on and on and on, way more than I was ready for. But it was a wonderful experience because I got to see something I hadn't seen and understand something about my own son that I didn't understand. And this is part of what it is like when we're working with different types. You're working with essentially aliens. You know, we're all strangers to each other because our types are so different and our needs and our interests are so different. And that's with the five, you're dealing with a head type. You're dealing with somebody who generally feels under-resourced, and so they tend towards avarice in terms of, you know, or greed in terms of knowledge and personal private time and energy, and they don't just sort of waste that. And for them, it becomes a big step to open up and to trust that they will be okay, that they will have enough resource for the world, even if they don't study something endlessly or have 20 hours out of the day alone and then 4 hours with people, you know, that sort of thing. So that's a big key thing to understand, I think, about fives.
And we're not doing this with all the types, but we wanted to talk about relating to a five because there is often misunderstanding around them. And there is sometimes, I think they do get misunderstood often. So we wanted to do that. But what is the path forward for the type five?
Yeah, the type five has to lean into trust and faith that they have enough, that they don't need to hoard their energy, their thoughts. Oftentimes, fives feel like they need to have concepts and frameworks all worked out in their heads before they engage the world. It gives them a sense of security. You know, coming into life, sometimes you have to make a decision before you're ready to make it, fully ready for to make a decision. That's particularly the feeling that the five has when they're taking a step of faith is, I'm not fully ready, but come to think of it, I don't think I ever will be. So at some point, I have to pull the trigger. And when they do so, they find that they actually are more resourced than they expected. And this is true for, again, all types. All of our patterns are generally lying to us. They're telling us that if you perform this way, then, you know, if you don't do this, then. And we've been listening to it for all our lives. So for fives, it's if you have enough resource, then, you know. And they oftentimes don't finish that sentence. It's just an experience, an emotion, a sense internally that they have. So when they lean into, I'm going to jump the other direction. I'm actually going to jump before I look, leap before I look, and they move forward in life. They find that that pattern's been lying to them because they are actually more resourced than they expected.
All right, so we're going to listen to a couple of fives talk about what it's like to be them and what it's like to move forward.
All right, so as we've done in the past couple weeks is rather than describing the type, we're just going to jump right in. And some of that will be seen in just the way type fives respond. But I just want to jump in and ask a few questions and get this thing rolling. So fives, you're in the head triad. I want to start off by asking you guys, where does your attention, this is kind of a broad question, but through the lens of the Enneagram, where does your attention generally take you throughout the day? Oh, he's got notes.
I got some notes. Not extensive notes, but might be a little quirky answer. But so where does my attention take me as a five? Anywhere that interests me. Depending upon what's going on in my life at the moment, my attention can go just about anywhere. Of course, through that, things get overcome by urgent needs that need problem solving. My attention can be easily distracted. I do go back and forth between just drifting in wherever and whatever interests me, focusing on it. But I also am somewhat driven by if there's pressing things urgent that need to be dealt with, then I switch into problem solving mode and put all my focus and attention in that space as well.
Yeah, it's pretty much same for me. I sort of do separate it in terms of whether I'm actually working on a given project. So my attention while I have a problem that I'm trying to solve is pretty much entirely on that. I could be having a conversation with you and my brain is working on that, and this is all happening out here. You know, my brain's still on that. So my attention is not necessarily out here or present with whatever else is going on while I'm in that problem solving mode. Otherwise, if I'm not working on a particular challenging problem, then the tension kind of goes wherever there's something interesting going on. So I try to stay away from doing too much on the internet that's not part of a specific project, because that can go down a whole rabbit hole.
You said the word, both of you said the word, whatever is interesting. All right, so that's the curiosity of the mind of the five. The five likes to go to things that are cerebral, things that draw the attention. But it's not the stuff that is frivolous or, I don't know, it's not mundane or shallow. It's not that, that's not the stuff that draws your attention. Someone wants to talk to you about food, unless you have a real passion in the area or interest in the area of food, you're not really going to want to talk about food, weather, and that sort of thing, or that's not the thing that's going to draw your interest all the time. So talk about, maybe if there's a little bit of awareness, what are those things that generally draw your attention? When your attention is being drawn to those things, talk about what is happening on both the interest level and also on the emotional level. What are you doing? Typically, head types, according to the theory of the Enneagram, in especially the five, is that when there's a problem, when there's something that grabs a hold of the interest, the five does not tap into the emotional center, but actually sort of evacuates that and goes right to the space of the head. And it becomes very much about what's going on between the space of the ears. So why do you go to the places of information, research, knowledge? What's the draw in that for you as a five?
For me, it's one of those things where you, without information, you're not ready to take action. So in other words, if there's something I need to do and I have no idea about it, I have to go research it first so that then I can go ahead and do it. If somebody asks me to do something that I don't know or haven't done before, my first thing is to go and research it. Part of that is, I think, our need to not appear, and I think we were talking about this earlier, the five doesn't want to appear to be a fraud. So like, I think that ties into the sort of the talk of the chit chat kind of thing, because that it's annoying, and it seems like you're trying to like just make up a conversation for the sake of talking. So it's not very real. So we want information so that we can relay things that we know, that we're certain of, so that we don't come across as frauds or as failures or something like that. So it's the need to have that information in order to interact with the world, I guess, or engage the world.
I would probably use the word not wanting to feel incompetent. So I can sit in a conference room or whatever, and conversations can be going on all around me, and I won't say boo throughout the whole thing. Sometimes I will later on during that thing say something after I've processed it enough and whatever. And it drives me nuts when people share stuff that you know they don't have a clue what they're talking about. So I can't possibly do that myself, because it would drive me nuts about myself. So why is knowledge, information, research so important to a five? Why shouldn't it be? Knowledge, information, and research should be important to everybody. How else can you make good decisions without it?
This is so funny, because if there were like all of us up here, this would be so interesting. It's interesting how there's a high side to each type, and this is where people get really muddled in terms of what does it mean to be a five? What does it mean to be a seven? Does it mean that I have to change who I am? And oftentimes, people are working on themselves in ways that actually shouldn't be changed. You're working on things that you're not supposed to change, and you're not working on other things you should be working on. And the Enneagram really delineates that there are particular aspects of the five that are really the low side, the issues of fear, of trust, not the parts of the five that are really gifted in good. For example, you mentioned research and knowledge are very important. Everybody should be doing. Yes, absolutely. Everybody should be researching. The question, though, is why does a five research and seek out knowledge and information sometimes to an extreme where there's never enough? And that sense of needing to be resourced for life is part of the five's low side that comes in at times. And the five feels generally unsuccessful in other areas of life, or feeling like they're under-resourced for living in the real world, being involved physically. And so going to the space of the head, the knowledge, the research, the information, the more I know, the more resourced I am for the rest of life, is part of that pattern that begins to emerge. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about that, and what are some things you've learned to do or been doing recently that's been helping you to see that, to observe it? First of all, the self-awareness, I'm watching myself do that in this moment. How do I interrupt this pattern so that I start to lean forward towards taking action in not just forever researching something?
There's a lot of ways to answer. So let me just maybe talk about the things that I have been doing that have been working in some ways. One of the things I started doing about a year and a half ago, I think it was last January, was spending time every morning about, it started out like 5 minutes. Now I'm up to about 10 minutes meditating in the morning. Nothing guided. It's just basically a timer with, like, I think a fireplace sound or something. It's an app that I use. It's usually right after I get my coffee, I do my scripture reading for the day. I do take the 10 minutes of just basically trying to shut my brain up, or at least try to go, you know, do the back to the breathing, just sort of calm things down a little bit. And that has helped as far as fives tend to be in the more anxiety prone center of things, because there's just so much stuff out there and we're constantly thinking and it's never shutting off. And the overwhelm can kind of get into the meditating part, sort of takes a little bit of that. It gives me that 10 minutes of, like, I'm not just getting out of bed and like going full blast into emails and business or anything like that. So it gives me that sort of quiet start to the day. And then right after that, I do just a short morning journal thing where I just record a few thoughts, a few things, you know, the weather, things like that. And I have a list on there that's called emotion. That's usually the most difficult part of my morning thing. And most of the time it's just meh. or I don't know. It's too early in the morning to think about emotions. And notice I said think about emotions. So feeling them is a whole different thing. So that's been part of my routine that's helped in many ways. So that's sort of like the preparatory thing. That's also helped, that practice has helped when I feel like sort of the anxiety or the shoulders starting to go like this, you know, it's like the reminder to kind of like just sit back and breathe a little bit and just kind of relax. But what I do notice sometimes is when I'm having one of these conversations with somebody, and they're trying to have a conversation with me, but the problem is they gave me a problem first, and then they start talking to me, and I'm like on the problem, and it's an inner struggle, and I usually kind of go like, all right, sorry, I'm totally like working on this thing now. I'm not really paying attention to what you're saying. So I do have to like tell people that sometimes, and or at least be aware of that's what I'm doing, and either try to shut off the project for the moment and bring my attention back, which is not easy, or basically just say, let me do this first and then I'm back with you. So
he's made a lot more progress than I have. It's practice. So in all honesty, I probably haven't really done much, probably because in some regards I haven't necessarily viewed it as a problem, and therefore it doesn't have to be solved. So I just retired, and when I was working, there were problems all the time. There was always things engaging me. There was always research to be done because that was the type of job that I was in. And right now, I don't know what my life is. You know, Nancy and I have definitely been just reading some of the Enneagram stuff. It says one of the things that a five should be doing is getting more into your body space. So we go out for a walk every day. I'm not doing that in reaction or response to my brain being a five. I'm just doing it to be with her, to have a conversation, and to be more in touch with my body rather than always the brain.
Just to add one thing that I thought of too is, for me, one of the reasons that drove me to kind of like look for these things for me is I'm single, right? I've been single my entire life, and I've lived by myself for the last 18 years. So for fives, we're not necessarily known as the, you know, go out and find people and have interactions. So part of these practices were kind of helping me, or maybe were as a substitute for not having a spouse there who might naturally provide some of those things that I have to do. Right. So that I have to kind of figure out a way to do it for myself to break some of the cycle. And in that, one of the other things I didn't mention is I've been trying to be more intentional about engaging in relationships. And, you know, just with friends, like, I mean, I would go weeks or months probably without seeing anybody, left to my own devices. And so friends of mine said, just come up every Sunday, you know, we'll hang out, you know, it's my godson's family. And so for the last couple of years, that's what I do every Sunday after church is I head up to their place and we just hang out for the day. You know, I get to interact with kids, which has been cool because I've never really done that a lot, but that's been very helpful for me as well, and to get me out of my space and into actually spending time and being around people other than just being here. Like when I'm here at church, most of you that get come, I'm usually in the back, I'm doing something, I'm running here or there, the next thing, and probably the last thing I'm doing is really engaging in relationship with anybody. So
it's not something that you, Ron, have to go digging for, like what's, you know, I got to find a problem. It's going to be a problem to work on. It's seeking also the things that you're doing and have been doing maybe for a while that you just never noted were things that were very helpful to you as a five, to be more grounded, to be more in touch with your body, to be more in touch with your heart. And this is just conjecture, so maybe you can speak to it. But you've been on prayer teams in our church. When you're praying for people, which part of you would you say you're leaning into? Is it you're leaning heavily into your head? Or do you feel like you're accessing some of your heart as well as you're doing that?
I definitely feel like I'm more heart connected on the prayer team. I'm also listening to what they're asking for, but I try my darndest not to go into problem solving mode. Yeah. Dialing down, trying to listen to God, trying to get better senses and feels from where this person's coming from. And yeah.
Nancy's a heart center person who you're married to. If it's been helpful, how has it been helpful to you to be in relationship with someone who's a heart center person? Maybe say a few words about that.
Well, going along with what Dave was saying too, that, you know, being in relationship immediately breaks the cycle every once in a while with, you know, I can't just be in here grinding. Wait a minute, there's a living person in front of me who has feelings and works out of the feeling side. In Myers-Briggs' world, I'm a T, she's an F. So yeah, I mean, that relationship, I think, has probably softened the fiveness. You know, there'd be times that we'll, you know, we might be watching a movie or something and I'll start tearing up and you know, I'll make some comment about my F is fighting to try to break out. And she will obviously at times also, so how does that make you feel, Ron? I don't know. How does that make me feel? Is it anxious? Is it happy? I don't know.
That reminded me of some, I was thinking about the questions that Joel gave us. And I had this kind of thought that sometimes when I'm doing my, I do it on the YouVersion Bible app and on my iPad, and I'll open up and I'm ready to do my, I'm opening up to read, and that annoying little thing pops up like, do you love the Bible app? And I'm like, well, if I say no, that's going to be, so I say yes, you know, like, you know, and then it goes, would you like to leave a review? I'm like, leave me alone. I'm trying to, and that's kind of the same way I look at emotions. So there are annoying things that pop up at the most inopportune time, and I don't know where they're coming from or why they're coming at me like that. And I just want to, I've got something I need to do, like, get out of the way. Like, let me do what I was planning to do in the first place. But
that's a really good analogy. Of I remember that one for the five. Yeah. The emotions are very inconvenient when they show up and you guys are trying to fix something. Yeah. Again, part of the thing with the fives is the five is called the observer. And when the five is stressed, the five can move towards behaviors, not the motivation, but the behavior of a seven and the low side of the seven, meaning they become very hyperactive and distracted and chasing different things that are popping up and doing so as a way to avoid whatever's creating the stress in their lives. When a five is more relaxed, a five starts moving towards the eight, and that's when it begins to take action. Doesn't get stuck in sort of the loop of, I need more research, I need more knowledge, I need to understand this better before I can take action towards this in this direction. For the five to move towards action does require some connection to the emotional center as well. Like, what do I want to do? And that functions at that deeper level of emotional intelligence and not just the IQ. And for both of you, I've seen it in your lives. We talk about like how that an instance in your life where you did move towards action that was tied to a desire that was true, that was inside of you, something you wanted to do, and you just did it. Was it need to spend weeks, months in research? You just began to move towards that that thing.
So the most recent thing was last year. I had this strong sense that I wanted to buy our retirement house before I retire. And I probably want to do it down around where our daughter lives. So I started on this quest to find a house on the south of Boston. Then we found this place. I didn't stop and say, wait a minute, let's research everything I need to research about south of Boston. I just went into, this is what I think we should be doing, and let's just do this thing. I kind of put aside the paralysis of analysis, which is where I live most of the time, and just, nope, this is what we should be doing. Let's go do this.
And what we say to fives is like, look, you've already done this before, and you certainly did it here, and it's turned out to be successful. Right? There hasn't been anything devastating from a lack of research, from a lack of, you know, doing the right, doing the work, do the due diligence. Fives will always do more than what's necessary anyways. So on a spectrum of doing too much research, too little research, the five will always be pinging the side of too much research. So when there's a little bit of a turn to go the other direction, it feels like, oh my goodness, I'm not doing enough. But because you tapped into your heart and you knew this is what I want to do, that was my desire. I want to be near my daughter and this is a good thing. And I don't know why I feel so strongly, but I feel strongly about that. By the way, this is what I do with coaching with all types is you find the places where you've already done this before. And you pay attention to that because the attention of the mind for all types is to go to what you're not doing well, to what you need to fix. Almost everybody goes there. Instead, like, I've already done this before, so I can draw from that experience for resource to know it's already happened before, I can do this again. And that's what encourages the types to continue to move towards what you've already done and the success you've already experienced. So, Dave, what about you?
Maybe back to where I was back working for the government. I was in a position where I knew the systems in and out, and I understood how we did work. And so I was able to vocalize and be very vocal about the things that we wanted to see as far as like versus the headquarters folks versus the regional folks and what we were expecting out of this new system. And and those kind of battles. So I think that might be one way where that it wasn't so much I had everything I really needed, and what I didn't have, I would, you know, if a question came back up, I knew where I could go and get that information. But I could pretty much speak very confidently on the system.
All right. Well, thank you to the Fives, and questions from you guys.
I had a question for Ron. You have always loved to sing also. Is that a place where your mind can rest and you can just connect with the music and connect emotionally to the music, I guess?
I was thinking about that very point, because singing, it's definitely not a head thing. You know, it's a body thing, and it's a heart thing more than it's a head thing. The body and the heart love it.
It's an outlet.
I absolutely need it.
Yeah. I'd say music has been a big thing for me as well. I played several instruments growing up, piano, French horn, guitar. So I actually learned sight reading music as part of music theory, as part of just growing up in an orchestra and bands and playing piano and trying to do things with both hands at the same time, which sometimes is a struggle. And I did kind of go into the Five thing. So I started going like, well, there's these computers and you can, like, you know, you got DAT machines and all these cool, you know, things that you can like plug into each other and, like, you know, record sound and do all these cool things with it. And so I spent years teaching myself about recording theory, you know, all the stuff about that, the different types of effects, you know. So that's the Five for you. Okay, you just got fived. All right. But yeah, so I did get into the research part of it and did that and spent a lot of money on gear, and I don't have necessarily the gift that Ron has, but I also do find that, like, as I'm singing, sometimes that stupid pop-up comes up and I'm like, I can't sing now, because I'm like all, like, my nose is tingling and my, like, and there's mucus and all this stuff, and it's like, come on, I just wanted to sing, like, I didn't, like, so. But yeah, sometimes that sometimes somewhere out of some, you know, the music does bring that out. So I don't know necessarily where or why, but, or why it does it at that particular time, but it happens.
Aside from the humor of this is what's great is that both of you are understanding that there's something, well, I don't know how much you're understanding of this, but there is something to be experienced, not to be analyzed. And that's what it is. So it's not that you have to understand why I'm crying and make sense of it, or why I'm feeling these emotions. That's not the point. In fact, the fact that you can understand is actually a good thing. It's just experiencing it in the moment and being okay with it. As you sing, something's happening to your heart. As you pray for people, something's happening to your heart. As you're in process of moving, something's happening to your heart. And all those things are absolutely wonderful. And those are the things that help the Five to actually become more integrated again. And that's the process of continuing to grow in that space. So thank you, Fives.
So special thanks to our Five panel. Thank you guys so much for opening up and being willing to share your life and your growth with us. Thank you to all of you who've been joining us on the Facebook page. This has been fun as we've just begun to interact a little bit more and have some discussions, because how we grow in empathy and compassion and even self-awareness is by hearing from each other, hearing our stories, hearing the way that we might think or what we might bring to the table in a particular situation. And it's really helpful. It helps us to continue to learn, which is a big part of our goal, which is to continue to learn what it's like to see from the perspective of another or know how they see things is very helpful. If any of you are interested in coaching, life coaching from Joel, you can contact him through his website. That's www.joelhubbard.com. And I'm your other co-host, Jim Zartman. My wife and I are doing some couples coaching, and you can contact me through my website, which is www.jimzartman.com for that or all the other audio production composer stuff that I do there. which is why this podcast is produced by Talkie Record Studio in Lynn, Massachusetts, and made possible by Vine 39 Church in Stoneham, Massachusetts. Thanks to those of you who have left us reviews on iTunes. It helps people find the show. And we're so new at this, we didn't even realize that we were not on every platform. We were primarily on iTunes. So now we are available everywhere. Should be available on Stitcher, Amazon, Google Play, Spotify, all of that. So if you're sharing it with your friends, we're now available in all those places. We're laughing at ourselves because we're so new at this and we didn't expect the show to be as successful as it has becoming. So we really appreciate those of you who've left us the review. And all of those of you who are listening, wherever you are in the world, it's amazing that our learnings in this little community here can be shared in a context in which people literally around the world are listening and participating with us. So thank you so much. Peace and love to you all. Have a good one.